Well, it's my privilege to be back with you and continuing in our series called God's Twitter. And this week's passage and topic reminded me of a few years ago, Diane and I were having a little pillow talk. I'm not sure if you married couples ever do pillow talk when you're lying in bed and before you go to sleep, you're having some conversations, and sometimes they're really important. This one was not necessarily super important, but we were planning a trip to head back to Gig Harbor, Washington, where we lived for about 10 years before we moved here to Fresno. And in Gig Harbor, we have a friend who over the years took a lot of pictures of us, and she's a great photographer. And Diane was telling me about the plans that she was making to connect with Heidi, the photographer, while we were in Gig Harbor so that we could take these great family photos and kind of update that. And the problem with me and pillow talk is that once my head's on the pillow, the talk kind of window of coherent talk kind of begins to shut. And there's a time limit until the window is shut. And so when Diane kind of turned over and said, "What do you think about that plan?" I said in kind of a sleepy voice, "I think I need to lose a little weight first." And you can decide what you think about that. But after I said that, There were several moments of silence. And so I just thought, well, Diane must agree. And so I'll just continue kind of drifting off to sleep. The problem was that Diane thought I said, "You need to lose some weight first." Beloved, this morning I want to talk about the power of your words. Your words really matter. They can bring life or death. And see, well, I thought my own comment about needing to lose some weight kind of closed the book on that conversation. And while I was drifting peacefully off to sleep that night, Diane was scheming about the most painful way she could cause me to die. Actually, she was totally silent because she was utterly surprised and appalled and hurt by my words. And all of that hurt, all of that pain, all of those stories she began to tell herself while we laid there in silence next to each other. All of that junk that came up in her as I said nothing else after that was because of one little word in that sentence that she thought I said differently than I did. Your words really matter. They bring life or they bring death. And that's why it's so important for us to hear this morning the words of the Holy Scripture. And for the reminder of the Holy Spirit, to listen for the reminder of the Holy Spirit about our words and the words that we share with others and even speak to ourselves. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 12 today to do that. And I'd love you to put your finger there if you're in your pew Bible. It's page 1001. But we're also going to be in James chapter 3, which in your pew Bible is page 1883. So Proverbs chapter 12, turn there. Proverbs chapter 12, pew Bible 1001. And then put a finger on James 3, 1883 in your pew Bible. 1001 and 1883. Proverbs 12 and then James chapter 3. And let's listen to the words of God in His Scripture. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And then in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh waters. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, come now by your Holy Spirit and speak to us for your will to be done here in this time as it is in heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Well, if you're like me, when you flip back to that Proverbs 12 passage and you hear that Proverbs 12 passage, it makes you think of a very popular proverb, a proverb that isn't in the Bible that all of us learned as kids, at least most of us, that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words. Does that sound biblical? No. The problem with those words is that they just aren't true. The Bible says that the words of the reckless will pierce like swords. In other words, they will cut deep into our lives. They wound us. And we may try to put on a front and act like we're not wounded. We may be like the Black Knight in Monty Python, who, after getting both of his arms chopped off, says, it's just a flesh wound. Right? Words wound us, and those wounds run deep. 28 years ago, I was starting right now my freshman year of high school football. And I've told you about that before, how I was unexpectedly made into the quarterback that year. And I thought it was a pretty cool assignment until I realized that I was one of the primary targets of the coach's verbal abuse. So whenever I made a mistake, whether it was a big one or a small one, the coach would rip into me. He would come down on me hard in front of everyone at practice or even at the games. And you know, freshman football games, there's not a lot of people there. You hear what the coach says. And he would yell at me, Vaquero, you are horrible. And that's the edited Sunday morning version. He would grab me by the helmet in practice, yell right into my face, make the team line up and run because of my mistakes. And I just am here to confess to you that those words pierced like swords into my 14-year-old self. There were wounds that ran deep. There were wounds that had a negative impact on the next 8 years I spent of competitive sports. Those words would run through my head every time I put on that uniform, headed out on that court, or stood up on those blocks. I had to find ways to fight through that, past that. Those wounds ran deep, and they weren't just flesh wounds. They pierced like swords deep into my soul. Reckless words, the scripture says, pierce like a sword. Your words really matter. They can have devastating effects. James says that the tongue is like a fire. And if there's ever a season when we recognize the devastating effects of fire, it is right now, isn't it? Look back at James chapter 3, verse 6. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Do you think James is serious about the tongue and the damage it can cause? Absolutely. It's like a fire that devastates, that burns, that uses up and just leaves ashes and devastation behind. That's how our words can be. And even though the tongue is such a small little part of the body, it can have such a huge harmful effect. But as you look at James closely, you realize that that effect, that harmful effect, that devastation isn't only on other people. James says that it can corrupt the whole person. In other words, the person with the tongue. It can set the whole course of your life on fire. So not only can our words pierce others like a sword, but our words can cause devastating effects to our own lives. And I would argue that that's not only talking about things that when we say something about somebody else that comes back and causes damage to us. But it's also what we say to ourselves. Every one of us talks to ourselves. Don't deny it. We all do it. And reckless words to yourself can also pierce like a sword. They can cause doubt and bitterness and hatred. They can lead to insecurity and deception and despair. What kind of words are you speaking to yourself? You see, the scripture makes it absolutely clear. Your words matter. They can have devastating effects on others and on you. But the scripture also makes it clear that your words can bring life. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And there's proverbs like this all over the place. If you just want to flip along with me, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Says the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Flip forward to Proverbs 15, verse 4. It says the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Flip again on the next page, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Next page, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who live by it will eat its fruit. Church, our words have the power to harm, but also the power to heal and to give life. Ever since I started in ministry, I've always had a drawer in my office that I use to keep encouraging notes and cards and letters when I receive them. Somebody told me that way back when, and I've just followed their lead. And every once in a while, when I'm feeling frustrated or discouraged or down, I open that drawer and I look at some of those notes. Notes that you have written to me. And God uses them to bring me encouragement. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And that's exactly the way that God uses those notes and those cards in my life. And one of the things I've heard from so many of you that you appreciated about Pastor Jamie Evans, the pastor who preceded me here at FPC, is that Jamie had this wonderful habit of writing notes of encouragement to folks in the congregation. And I know that many of you still have the notes that he wrote you. Because they're notes of encouragement. Because the power of words is to heal and to encourage and to give life. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be surprised by the power of or the impact of words, should you? I mean, think about the power and the impact of words throughout the scripture. It starts right at the beginning. Genesis 1 teaches that when God created the heavens and the earth, how did he do it? With words. The scripture says, God said, let there be light. And what happened? Boom, there was light. And throughout the Old Testament, God communicates by speaking words to his people. He speaks to Abraham. He speaks to Moses. He speaks to Joshua. And his words are powerful, both his words of judgment and his words of call. And Psalm 29 describes it so well when it talks about the voice of the Lord being powerful and majestic. It says the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars and shakes the desert and twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. The word of God is powerful and transformational. And then in the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when the Apostle John sat down to write his version of the story of Jesus, you remember how he started it? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, that Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal Word of God that John is talking about is Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate communication of God, the ultimate Word of God, the ultimate truth of God. Not truth like a principle that you follow, but truth of God is a person. It's Jesus. The Word of God is powerful and transformational. And certainly Jesus' life, as recorded in all the Gospels, shows that to be true, doesn't it? I mean, think about the red letters in your red letter Bible edition. When Jesus says to the fishermen, come, follow me, what do? The men follow. When Jesus says to the evil spirit, be quiet and come out of him, the evil spirit leaves. When he says to the leper, I am willing, be clean, he is healed. And when he says to the paralytic, get up, take up your mat and go home, the man stands up and goes. When he says to the storm that's raging, quiet, be still, the wind and the waves become still. And when he says to Peter on the boat, come on out, Peter. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water to him. And when he hung on the cross and used his last breath to say these words, it is finished. He became the salvation. He became the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice for everyone who entrusts their life to him. The Word of God is powerful and transformational. But God, listen to this, God did not reserve that power of words to himself, did he? God gave us the ability to speak. And when he did, he gave us tremendous power. Now, I'm not arguing that my voice or your voice is majestic like God's. My voice doesn't break the cedars like the voice of the Lord, but my voice can crush the spirit of my daughter. My voice doesn't shake the desert or strip the forest bare, but it can strip my son of his confidence. My words alone can't bring sight to the blind or strength to the legs of a paralytic, but they can help my wife to see her own beauty, and they can encourage a friend to keep walking, to keep going. Your words matter. They bring life or death. So, beloved, are your words bringing life? Or are they bringing death? Are your words building others up? Or are your words tearing others down? Some of us have a habit of using reckless words that pierce like swords, and often it's hurting the people that we love the most. William Barclay, who's an old Bible commentary, no longer alive, says this: many a man speaks with perfect courtesy to strangers and even preaches love and gentleness, and yet snaps with ungracious and impatient anger and irritability at his own family at home. Had to sit with that quote a little bit this week for myself. He goes on to say, it has not been unknown for a man to speak with piety on the Sunday and to curse a squad of workmen on the Monday. It has not been unknown for a man to utter the most pious sentiments one day and to repeat the most questionable stories the next. It has not been unknown for a woman to speak with sweet graciousness at a religious meeting and then to go outside to murder someone's reputation with a malicious and a gossiping tongue. You see, the fact is that none of us has perfect control over our words, do we? James says that if anyone is never at fault in what he says, then he is a perfect man. In other words, as he comes back later in verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. So, church, what should we do? Well, first, we need to have grace for others when they say things that are hurtful or offensive. See, we have a tendency in our culture to hold on to the dumb things that people say for way too long. If you're still mad at someone for the hurtful thing they said 5 years ago, you need to begin the work of forgiveness. No one can tame the tongue. And that means neither you nor the person who offended you is perfect in this area. Now, grace and forgiveness doesn't say it's okay. But every single one of us needs to be quick to forgive when people say things that are hurtful. But what should we do about our own words? You know, if nobody can tame the tongue, maybe one attitude would just be that we should just not worry about what we say. Just let it rip, you know, just go for it and just see what happens. Say what you want to say and let's see where the chips fall. Is that what we should do? Well, you can. But if you want to be wise, the scripture says that that's not what you should do. The Proverbs make it clear that the wise are the ones who are actively and carefully considering their words. Proverbs 17, verse 27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Proverbs 21, 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. You see, wisdom means that we have restraint with our words. But the best way to change the way we talk is to change the source of our words. Look back at the end of James 3, or the end of our reading today in James 3. James writes, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It kind of ends abruptly, don't you think? You're kind of waiting for the resolve. But what James is talking about there is he's talking about a source problem. If you want to change the way that you speak, you have to change the source of your words. And according to Jesus, when he was speaking to the religious leaders about the source of their words and their attitudes, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words, the things that we say, reflect our hearts. They reflect our attitudes. And so the best way to change your words is to have your heart transformed by the power of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. If you are struggling to stop yourself from speaking words that are harmful, words that lead to death, don't just try harder to self-edit. I'm going to try harder. Yeah, the scripture says that you need to be carefully considering your words, but don't just do that. Come with a repentant heart to the throne of grace. And receive again the incredible forgiveness of God. Be renewed in your understanding that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And ask the Lord to help you live into that identity, that reality that you have in Christ. You see, it's likely that those words that you're saying that are harmful are coming out of a heart that is insecure or is prideful or is wounded. And if you are in Christ, you don't have to live in that reality anymore. If you want to change your words, don't only try harder. Receive, again, the incredible and transformational grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, your words really matter. They can lead to death or they can lead to life. So let's make our words here at First Presbyterian Church Fresno Let's make our words be words that bring healing. Let's make our words be sweet to the soul like honeycomb. Let's make our words be like a tree of life that bears good fruit. To do that, pay attention this week to the words that you speak, both to others and to yourself. And when you speak words that pierce like a sword, repent. Seek reconciliation. And be transformed by the good news of the gospel that Christ died for you so that you could live. And he rose again so that he could lead you in his new life. Receive the grace of God to be changed. Receive the word of truth from God about your salvation. That you are his child. That you belong to him. And out of that heart of truth, speak words that give life. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord God, we are humbled that you gave the power of speaking words to us. And I just shared a few stories from my own past, but God, I know that we could just take the next 3 weeks and kind of listen to everyone's story about how words have impacted them, both in a deathly way and both in a lively way, in a healthy way, in a healing way. And so, God, we just ask that you would forgive us for the things that we may have even said this morning on the way to church, for crying out loud. Or things that we may have even said on the lawn before we walked in. Things that we said this week, things that we've said in our lives that we know were reckless words that can pierce like a sword, that can cause damage, that can crush spirits, that can bring death and devastation. Please forgive us, oh God. Change our hearts. Help us to live in the reality of who you've made us to be, the identity that we have in Christ, so that out of that truth, and not out of the lie of insecurity or the lie of pride or the lie of woundedness, but out of our identity in Christ, we would speak. Out of the overflow of that kind of heart, words would come. Words that you would use to give life to everyone we meet, whether it's the waitress or waiter at the restaurant this afternoon, or our kids or our parents, our co-workers, our neighbors, other people in this church, not just the way we speak to people, but the way we speak about people. Not just what we say to others, but what we say to ourselves. All of it, God. Not so that we would just be better people, but that in us, others would see the good news of the gospel. They would see your kingdom and be drawn to it by your Spirit. That your will would be done in and through us. As it is in heaven, we ask all of it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. Church, would you just stand up to receive the benediction? Get a little blood flowing back in your feet. And as you do, I just want to remind you that we're taking signups right after church today for Wednesday nights at FPC. And we are not just don't go by and just pick up information. I encourage you to come by and be ready to kind of say, hey, I'm in, and fill out the card that kind of registers or signs you up to be there so we can have an idea who's coming. So I just encourage you to do that. The table's right out there. Thanks for having a great first Sunday back to two services, coming during the education hour and being a part of all the Sunday school teachers that are back in action. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're just going to have I just believe that God's going to do great things among us in these months ahead. So as you go from today, may you receive the Lord's grace, that out of that grace you would speak words of life like he's spoken to you. And to do that, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. So before your arms get tired, I invite you to receive this blessing from him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.